Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Dave Bowen, Assistant Administrator for Information Services and Chief Information Officer at the Federal Aviation Administration. Also joining our conversation today from IBM is Kunal Suryavanshi. Dave, today, rapidly evolving technology increases organizations' IT vulnerability footprint. Malicious attacks on your computer systems, networks, are occurring, as I understand it, at unprecedented rates. Every radar, network, link, and every phone line that makes the FAA system work could be potential targets. Would you elaborate on your IT security efforts, and more specifically, would you describe the types of cyber threats you are facing and the steps you've taken to mitigate those threats?
You're right. The FAA's networks are a favorite target of malicious cyber activity. And as I reported earlier, the cyber activity part of it is one of my primary operating responsibilities. So we oversee all of those kinds of activities. And I can tell you that right now we're logging about 7 million cyber alerts per day. And over 2,000 of those require further investigation each and every day. So we are certainly a favored target, and we have to take serious steps to deal with that. We've seen a big uptick over the last couple of years. Having strong walls at the boundaries, which was our approach a couple of years ago, is no longer enough. You need to have protection inside the networks. Even though our air traffic control systems are isolated from the outside world and have never been breached, that isolation is no longer sufficient protection in and of itself. The bad guys are getting very good. Their objective is to evade detection now, and we're moving to processes that enable us to detect them based on their behavior once they get in, because you're very hard-pressed these days to keep them out. We're also doing something that's pretty new in terms of the industry, and that is we are mandating the scanning of our software for vulnerabilities before it goes into production, and designing advanced security measures to help isolate our applications and limiting their effectiveness if the bad guys do get in. The strategy is not only to try to keep them out, but if they do get in, you've got to basically be in a position to minimize the damage.
In a similar vein, what steps are you taking to create a culture of accountability and protection for sensitive personal information and ensure that any security weaknesses are being improved?
Well, beside the cybersecurity piece, the personal identity information and protection of that in the agency is my secondary responsibility. We had a major privacy breach early last year. It was in the papers, so you should probably be aware of that. And as a result of that, we're particularly sensitive to this issue of personal identity information. Following that breach in February of 2009, we put together a call to action plan that involved nearly 20 separate initiatives to improve our management of personal identity information across the agency. Some of the steps involved were identifying where all of our PII was in our infrastructure, all of our personal identity information, and getting rid of that data that was no longer needed. We've been in the process now for the last 6 or 7 months using scanning tools across our infrastructure to find these odd files containing things like social security numbers, credit card numbers, things like that. Other steps involved reducing the amount of PII in our systems and controlling personal identity information data that was entering and leaving the agency through emails or attachments, whatever. So as I said, next to our cybersecurity efforts, our privacy program is our highest priority.
Dave, currently the FAA runs on the order of 150 data centers. Would you elaborate on your efforts to consolidate these data centers? What are the benefits of pursuing such a data center consolidation, and what are some of the key challenges to making it happen?
I think the number is now up to 164, which I think is what we reported to OMB, using their own definition of a data center. What happened over 2 years ago, I started seeing parts of our agency, our different lines of business, start making noises about major data center investments. And we were running out of either power, space, or air conditioning, or all of the above. And so rather than approve those investments, I asked the administrator to let me commission a team of people, if you would, to develop basically a data center strategy for the agency. So we've been working on this for the last couple of years or so. This year, OMB is taking on this issue and requiring agencies to produce an inventory of their data center facilities and then develop a plan to consolidate them. And we're well down that road. We see significant benefits, and I certainly applaud OMB's efforts to curtail the number of facilities out there. We think there are going to be greater efficiencies, reduced operating costs, certainly better security, more standardization, greater opportunities for disaster recovery, and increased server utilization. For instance, we found in our networks, our servers were running in the order of 7 to 11%. You know, that if we can take that up, we get opportunities around better utilization, more efficiencies, better power consumption, and things like that. The challenges are mostly cultural. There are lots of server huggers out there, and reluctance to consolidate IT infrastructure across our lines of business. I mentioned our server virtualization efforts, and we have taken hundreds of servers out of our infrastructure, but we have not yet been able to virtualize servers across our business lines. And so that's the next major challenge for us. Most commercial companies have recognized this issue and dealt with it over the last several years. The CIO for Boeing was in my office, and we were talking about this, and they had the same problem. Their problem arose because of all of their company acquisitions. And so as he stepped into his role, he looked across their IT landscape and saw all kinds of duplication of facilities, redundancies, things like that. So they went through a big consolidation effort, and it saved millions. And I think in the upcoming years, where we're going to be challenged in terms of budgets as a government agency, we need to do the best we can to save this money and at least be able to put those funds back into things that add more value to our mission.
The federal government is taking green computing very seriously, and both the private sector and federal agencies are pursuing green solutions. Would you elaborate on your efforts to be a good environmental steward and move towards green computing?
You know, there is an increasing focus on this, and I think rightly so. I would tell you that we're doing all the standard stuff. We're looking at power management, certainly in the data center initiative we just talked about. There's the green element of that. Configuration control, how we have our printers deployed and utilized, and all those things. The other thing I'll talk about is that we're pushing telework really hard at the FAA, and my office is kind of taking a lead role here because I particularly believe in this. And as we look at our future office space needs, we think that telework offers us an opportunity to really maybe not reduce our costs, but at least keep our costs from growing to a lesser extent than they would have otherwise. And we're asking people that, you know, as we move into new spaces, whether they would be willing to telework, share space, and things like that. In my department, we just held an experimental telework day, where we took everybody in our department that had a telework agreement and told them, stay home and telework. And let's see if we can run the department with everybody who's could telework actually teleworking from home. And it worked out pretty well. It showed that we could still communicate. We could still run the department, and the employees really enjoyed it. So that's a big effort for us.
Dave, you mentioned earlier that after some 14 years, the FAA was removed from the Government Accountability Office's high-risk list of federal programs. I want to say that this is a very significant accomplishment, and I understand you were very instrumental in making this happen. Would you tell us more about FAA's success in this area, and more particularly, are you building on these accomplishments, and what can other agencies learn?
Well, we're really proud of that accomplishment, Michael. Our former administrator, Marion Blakey, decided some number of years ago that getting off the high-risk list was going to be a goal that we should shoot for at the FAA, and that it would provide evidence of our improvement in our program management efforts, which she felt was essential to give the Congress and the taxpayers confidence in our ability to deploy the next-gen programs as we moved into next-gen. So we took that on. My office put together a program of improvements based on past IG and GAO reports on all of our agency practices and programs in sort of the program management area. We then sort of put together this program and dashboard, and we took it back to GAO and said, hey, you know, if we make all these improvements, will you take us off the high-risk list? And they sort of said, looked at us funny and said, yeah, if you do all this stuff, we'll take you off the high-risk list. So we formed a high-risk list task force, and we developed an implementation plan which had 13 major initiatives in it. Each initiative had milestone dates, had accountable individuals. They were grouped into four major areas. We assigned staff and set up a governance program, including quarterly meetings with GAO to oversee progress on these initiatives. And the administrator included the high-risk list in the FAA strategic plan. So now we've got a lot of focus on it. We're continuing it today by basically following up on our activities, largely through a process of auditing to ensure that the practices and the procedures and things that we put into place during the high-risk list effort, if you will, are still in place and operational. Learnings include a number of them, actually, partnership with the regulators. We had excellent working relationships with GAO. We had some pretty tough characters, actually, in my own department who sort of held our feet to the fire. We had this sort of red, green, yellow kind of dashboard, and there are always arguments as should it be green or should it be yellow. And so we had those kind of things. Obviously, the management practice of setting priorities, putting focus on this, getting top-level support and executive commitment were all key to our success. Our task force was led by our CFO, our chief acquisitions officer, our finance VP, and our air traffic organization, and myself. And we all sat in on all these sessions with the team and with the GAO. My old boss used to say, you need to inspect what you expect. And so I think that's pretty much the story here.
Would you elaborate on your efforts to enhance and foster successful information sharing across the extended FAA community? How is this moving from a culture of need to know toward a culture of need to share, in which information is shared as a matter of standard operating procedure?
A couple of thoughts there. One of the things, sort of getting back to my passion around aviation, I feel very comfortable traveling all over the agency, and I get involved in all kinds of activities. And whenever I travel, I always find that I learn something. And oftentimes, I'll see somebody doing something that's a duplicate of what I know somebody else is doing. When I see that going on, I try to get the interested parties together and say, you know, Joe Blow over here is doing the same thing you are. Maybe you guys ought to get together and collaborate on this. A good example of this is when our cyber guys were working with the aircraft certification guys and looking at the IT components of the Boeing 787 and how we were going to certify that. Another area is our support of a new idea sharing initiative. It's called Idea Hub. It's a social media site designed to promote the collection of idea sharing and collaboration across the entire Department of Transportation. And you can get on Idea Hub and you can submit an idea, and then people can vote on the idea and rank the idea and score it and find out how much support you have for the idea. For its first day in operation, we had garnered nearly 500 ideas from across the department. So that's terrific. We also manage what we call the FAA's Data Governance Board, which is in the process of cataloging all of our information items, where they are, how they're used, what system do they come from, what's a system of record, et cetera, and sharing that with all of the folks in the organization so they have a better understanding of how data flows and what kind of data they can get to.
Dave, what is FAA doing to drive results, accountability, transparency in your organization?
Well, this is another area where I think my private sector experience has been helpful, Michael. Our department business plan ties to the FAA flight plan, and the FAA has a very focused effort around the flight plan. It's our strategic plan. There are goals and milestones. The senior management team reviews that flight plan each and every month with the administrator to see how we're doing. So that's kind of the tip of the pyramid, drives down to the business plan that we pick up, and then we have pieces of our business plan that support flight plan goals, and then we have other parts of the business plan that support other things that we want to do as a department. So as a department, we then take that business plan and we put that on a dashboard. We meet with all of our department supervisors and managers on a monthly basis. We review the results. We see how the goals are being met and how we're doing against them. And we're pretty tough on ourselves. Then those performance goals drive down into individual performance plans. And obviously, our staff is evaluated accordingly using those individual performance plans.
What does the future hold for information technology at FAA? We will ask its CIO, Dave Bowen, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.